27. Eddie and Susanna looked up at the vastness of Blaine's cradle as the skies opened and the rain began to fall in torrents.
"It's a hell of a building, but they forgot the handicap ramps," Eddie yelled, raising his voice to be heard over the rain and thunder.
"Never mind that," Susanna said impatiently, slipping out of the wheelchair. "Let's get up there and out of the rain." Eddie looked dubiously up the incline of steps. The risers were shallow, but there were a lot of them.
"You sure, Suze?"
"Race, you white boy," she said, and began to wriggle upward with uncanny ease, using hands, muscular forearms, and the stumps of her legs. And she almost did beat him. Eddie had the ironmongery to contend with, and it slowed him down. Both of them were panting when they reached the top, and tendrils of steam were rising from their wet clothes. Eddie grabbed her under the arms, swung her up, and then just held her with his hands locked together in the small of her back instead of dropping her back into the chair as he had meant to do. He felt randy and half crazy without the slightest idea why.
"Oh, give me a break," he thought. "You've gotten this far alive. That's what's got your glands pumped up and ready to potty."
Susanna licked her full lower lip and wound her strong fingers into his hair. She pulled. It hurt, and at the same time it felt wonderful. "Told you I'd beat you, white boy," she said in a low, husky voice.
"Get out of here. I had you by half a step."
He tried to sound less out of breath than he was and found it was impossible.
"Maybe, but it blew you out, didn't it?"
One hand left his hair, slid downward, and squeezed gently. A smile gleamed in her eyes.
"Something ain't blown out, though."
Thunder rumbled across the sky. They flinched, then laughed together.
"Come on," he said. "This is nuts. The time's all wrong."
She didn't contradict him, but she squeezed him again before returning her hand to his shoulder. Eddie felt a pang of regret as he swung her back into her chair and ran her across vast flagstones and under cover of the roof. He thought he saw the same regret in Susanna's eyes. When they were out of the downpour, Eddie paused and they looked back. The plaza of the cradle, the street of the turtle, and all the city beyond was rapidly disappearing into a shifting gray curtain. Eddie wasn't a bit sorry. Lud hadn't earned itself a place in his mental scrapbook of fond memories.
"Look," Susanna murmured.
She was pointing at a nearby downspout. It ended in a large, scaly fish head that looked like a close relation to the dragon gargoyles which decorated the corners of the cradle. Water ran from its mouth in a silver torrent.
"This isn't just a passing shower, is it?" Eddie asked.
"Nope. It's gonna rain until it gets tired of it, and then it's gonna rain some more just for spite. Maybe a week, maybe a month. Not that it's going to matter to us if Blaine decides he doesn't like our looks and fries us. Fire a shot to let Roland know we got here, sugar, and then we'll have us a look around, see what we can see."
Eddie pointed the Ruger into the gray sky, pulled the trigger, and fired the shot which Roland heard a mile or more away as he followed Jake and Gasher through the booby-trapped maze. Eddie stood where he was a moment longer, trying to persuade himself that things might still turn out all right, that his heart was wrong in its stubborn insistence that they had seen the last of the gunslinger and the boy Jake. Then he made the automatic safe again, returned it to the waistband of his pants, and went back to Susanna. He turned her chair away from the steps and rolled her along an aisle of columns which led deeper into the building. She popped the cylinder of Roland's gun and reloaded it as they went. Under the roof, the rain had a secret, ghostly sound, and even the harsh thunder cracks were muted. The columns which supported the structure were at least 10 feet in diameter, and their tops were lost in the gloom. From up there in the shadows, Eddie heard the cooing conversation of pigeons. Now a sign hanging on thick chrome-silver chains swam out of the shadows. "North Central Positronics welcomes you to the cradle of Lud. Southeast travel, Blaine. Northwest travel, Patricia."
"Now we know the name of the one that fell in the river," Eddie said.
"Patricia.
They got the colors wrong, though. Supposed to be pink for girls and blue for boys, not the other way around."
"Maybe they're both blue."
"They're not. Blaine's pink."
"How would you know that?"
Eddie looked confused.
"I don't know how, but I do."
They followed the arrow pointing toward Blaine's berth, entering what had to be a grand concourse. Eddie didn't have Susanna's ability to see the past in clear, visionary flashes, but his imagination nonetheless filled this vast pillared space with 1,000 hurrying people. He heard clicking heels and murmuring voices, saw embraces of homecoming and farewell. And over everything, the speakers chanting news of 12 different destinations. Patricia is now boarding for Northwest Baronese. Well, Passenger Killington, please report to the information booth on the lower level. Blaine is now arriving at berth number 2 and will be debarking shortly.